Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
If you were born in 1974, that means you're turning 50 this year.
Right, yes.
Probably don't need me to remind you of that. But there was a bunch of other things that were born 50 years ago this year. Post-it notes were born in 1974. Actually, they started in 1968 when a guy accidentally invented a weak glue. Now, that's not going to work. He didn't know what to do with it. But 6 years later, another guy wanted a way to bookmark pages in his Bible at church. And Post-its were born. So they must have known each other.
Hmm.
He took his very weak glue.
Yeah.
Put it on the back of the little yellow piece of paper.
Right.
And Post-its. The Rubik's Cube. It was invented in 1974 by a Hungarian guy named Erno Rubik. Originally called it the Magic Cubes.
Not so much magic?
No.
Although I've solved it once.
Oh, really?
I had to go and basically get all like kind of the cheat codes. Before it was remove the stickers and put them all back on.
That's what I did.
But then, you know, I had to go find whatever the code or algorithm is to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then work my way through it, was able to actually solve it. But
of all those novelty games, it has hung in there. Like, I
still
think
endures.
They still sell it, yeah. Barcodes. They were invented in 1975. A guy dreamed it up while he was on vacation in Florida. And the first barcode was scanned on June 26, 1974.
If you'd only known that now you can just scan them yourself. It's eliminating cashiers.
Yeah, ruining people's lives. Bailey's. Bailey's Irish Cream.
Oh, was, 50 years old?
Yeah.
How'd you drink coffee before that?
I wouldn't have.
Straight whiskey.
The coffee nip is just a vessel for the Irish cream. The Heimlich maneuver was invented in 1974 by Dr. Henry Heimlich.
Everyone choked before that?
Basically, you just died. No, back then, the advice was to smack a choking person on the back over and over again.
All right.
Which, of course, you know, did not work.
Uh-huh.
But the old Heimlich. Do you know how to do the Heimlich? Do you know first aid in general?
Very basic,
right?
First aid. I mean, I wouldn't be the one giving CPR. Well, I wouldn't be doing open heart surgeries.
No,
but I have given the Heimlich.
Oh, have you?
I have.
Who did you Heimlich?
I saved my mother-in-law.
Come on.
From choking. Yeah.
What were you thinking?
That's why I'm the platinum child. Well, I wasn't in the will yet.
You should
at
have
that
just
point
gotten up and gone to the. Oh, you were still trying to look like a good
I'm
guy.
I'm still trying to work my way in.
Wow. And what was she choking on?
A piece of bacon.
And you got it.
Yeah.
She spit it out.
Spit it out.
Good for you. You got to go up under the rib cage. Oh, right?
Yeah.
Push her under the rib cage.
Haul, yeah.
Like, I know that there's the compressions that you're supposed to do to the BGs staying alive.
Right, it's that's supposed to be that CPR, same. Yeah.
It's, yeah. But as I've said to you many times, if you did a header in here, I'd just step over you.
There's those automatic defibrillators now. You can find one of those in the building.
I'd just step over
and
you and
it tells
say,
you what to do.
I'd say you got to wipe that white goo off your mouth.
You step over and just walk quietly out the building.
The last thing you want to see before you shed this mortal coil is me coming in for a big French kiss.
Just let me go.
Go to the last thing you hear.
Bring on the white light.
Covering your nose and saying, just go to the light, Lucky. Go to the light. Every now and then, this is how horrible of a human being I am. Marie and I will be doing something, whatever, we're driving somewhere, and she's, you know, rambling on about something, and I'll cover her nose and say, just go to the light.
My goodness.
Or I'll grab the remote, the TV remote, and I'll press it at her to mute her. Oh, we have a good time.
Right.
Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons, D&D, was invented in 1974.
I don't know if I've actually ever played the game. I think someone tried to explain it to me once, and that was about where it ended.
Yeah, it's far too complicated. My oldest was really into it, and I just looked the other way. Because I just thought, this is never getting you laid.
Right.
So, or getting you out of the house, or going anywhere. Sometimes you just have to let your kids wean off of things themselves.
Okay.
Just a little tip. A classic family game, Connect Four, was invented in 1960.
Great game. Great cottage game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's over quickly, which is a good game too, right?
Yes.
Want to play a game? Yeah. Connect Four. Let's go.
Yeah.
Best 2 to 3 and we're done in 10 minutes.
18 times in a row. When was Uno? Uno's another great family
game. It's a good one. Yeah.
Monopoly, of course, not so much. Just start family fights.
Fun game, but it's a lot of fights and it takes way too long. Yeah.
Game of Life is a good one for the family.
They have brought in like new iterations of those.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's the kids like one. I think it's like a Mario Brothers themed.
All right.
Monopoly goes really quick.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Monopoly Gamer, I think it's called.
The Game of Life, I always like to just throw my little guy over the bridge. You know,
with all the kids?
Commit suicide. Drive the car over the bridge. DayQuil was invented. Actually, NyQuil was invented 8 years earlier in 1966.
Okay.
And then they got the DayQuil.
Years ago, DayQuil.
Yeah. Yeah, DayQuil. Yeah. Because the NyQuil knocked your arse out. Like, if you confuse the two.
Oh, and it don't went do to that.
Work, no, that's a bit of a problem. And the Meow Mix jingle. Came out in 1974.
I Love Chicken, I Love Liver. Is that the Meow Mix one?
Yeah, so I went and I looked it up because we talked about it earlier. And
the one Dr. Evil sings?
Well, they put the words up. Like, it's the cat singing, meow, 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 meow. But then the words are, I want chicken, I want liver.
Oh.
But the cat's saying it in cat language.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't, Austin Powers. Mm-hmm. There you go again. You and your movie references from 30 years ago. When do you think that adults nowadays started struggling with so much arrested development? When do you think we all became so stunted in our ability to just mature and be adults? Because now, working 9 to 5 just doesn't work for people anymore.
Right.
We're so pathetic. Poll of 2,000 people feel that the most feel that a normal 9 to 5 job no longer works for them. That they need flexible hours. This gig economy where basically you just hop from job to job seems to be in full swing.
Yeah.
Nobody even wants to work for a company anymore. They just want to bounce around and do whatever they want to do.
Mm.
Doesn't it seem, it seems to me, that bouncing around looking for one gig after another seems a lot more complicated than just having a job and going there every day?
Well, I think somewhere around the turn of the century, the millennium, there was a real shift in the parenting ideal and the focus being on, you know, little Johnny, and you do what you want to do. And don't let people tell you you can't. And, you know, whereas I think before that, certainly, and depending on your upbringing, I personally, mine being, you know, one of immigrants, it was not that you do what you want to do. It's, you know, of course you carve your own way, but you do it within the rules of how others, you know, guide you to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that now the approach seems to be, you know, little Johnny, that guy can do no wrong and can't be told that he's doing anything wrong.
Yeah, you're probably right.
There's a coddling involved.
The parenting structure has, and it's definitely changed even since my kids were young. Like, my children were born in the mid and late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It seems within like a decade or so after that, it really switched. Like, I don't remember, we certainly didn't do it, and I don't remember any of my kids' parents doing this, where they were just so involved in every aspect of their kids' lives. My kids made their own fun. When it was March break, they did their own thing. They played with their own friends. They hung out. We didn't have to do days and trips and figure out stuff for them. We didn't have to send them to camps in the summer, and we didn't have to be their social director. It feels like that also has become a part of being a parent now.
Well, and I think you might be able to tie a lot of this and shift towards social media, because it's around that time where it became that popular.
Probably.
And things like Facebook and Instagram, more Facebook, I think, you know, when you're looking at the mid-2000s. Mm. And part of it because, you know, while you might have felt some peer pressure to keep up with the Joneses a bit before social media, once that got out.
You're probably right.
It reached an entire new level to the point where, like, personally, last week, I was looking at, you know, some social media and going, am I doing it wrong for not being away right now? Because that's what people post,
right?
They post the good. They post they're on vacations and, they're, you know, we're in Florida with a billion other people for March break. And, you know, and those who aren't there obviously aren't posting so much.
Right.
But those, so what you see is an influx of that. And you look at it and go, well, what am I doing wrong? Am I doing a disservice to my children by not taking them away on March break? And then I look at my wallet and change my mind on that.
I'm sure you're right. I'm sure social media has amplified that, because when I was growing up, and certainly with my kids, we never took them to Disney World, but it seemed like it was a thing. You had to take your kids to Disney World at some point. And you had to get them into hockey, or you were a horrible parent.
Right.
My parents could not afford hockey until I was 15. Think about that.
Right.
I started playing hockey around 15.
Yeah.
Maybe 14. I was done by 15. I mean, I was just the worst. Why I even signed up for it finally, I do not know. But I just know that it seemed like every other kid in my town, in Brampton, in Bramalea, was playing hockey.
Right.
Plus, I desperately wanted one of those coats.
The
leather sleeve and the felt front. Seemed like every pretty girl in school was wearing her boyfriend's hockey coat.
Leather and Melton? Is that what it was called?
Yeah,
something like that.
So, yeah.
I always thought it was mutton.
But that's probably what it was. Like, back then, that's what it was. Disney World and hockey. And you're not wrong. Now on social media, you see parents taking their kids everywhere. But, we just have completely coddled our children, and we are coddled, and those coddled children are now in the workforce, and they don't want to work. It's getting in the way of things. This survey also found a lot of people want to be paid differently and more often.
Oh.
Ideally, every week or every day. The average person who gets paid twice a month said they tend to blow through it and run out of money just 12 days after payday. Well, here again, be an adult.
Yeah.
Do a budget. How about that?
Well, because they might not have, many of them have probably not had that tough landing. Right?
Oh, my God. I'm concerned for my children. They're in their, well, my oldest will be 30 in September. I'm concerned for them in regards to home ownership or savings, and everything's more expensive. But I can only imagine how you look at your boys and their life moving forward and the life they've lived, and will they be able to face any downfall
right.
or issues? Everything's just been so easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all been laid out for them.
Oh, yeah. Well, and believe me, the thought crosses my mind, especially as you look towards, you know, college, university age, which we're creeping towards. And you know, funny, you know, chatting with my financial advisor the other day, we were talking about that and education savings. And then later on, you know, the kids, would you invest stuff for them or because there's new avenues for home ownership now too,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Home buyers savings plans kind of thing. And they think, I don't know if they'll ever buy a house.
No.
If this trend continues the way that it is,
mm-hmm.
then, You know, they're probably already eyeing just keeping ours and kicking me out.
I was watching one of those Home Hunters shows over the weekend.
Right.
Where, you know, people go around the world.
Like those shows, actually.
Actually, I never watch them, but I just stumbled upon one over the weekend. And I didn't realize this, but in Europe, you don't need a down payment on a house. You can just borrow the whole lot.
Right.
And I don't know why we don't do, because that's what's killing it for a lot of young people is coming up with that down payment.
Right.
So you know what? Mortgage them for 50 years, give them $1 million, and let them buy a house.
Yeah, I think the defaulting on it was the issue.
Yeah, maybe.
And why they had to, and then why they eventually raised the down payments as well.
Right.
Because, you know, people going into it without the necessary capital behind them.
Yeah.
And that was the whole point. All right. You got to save up to have some capital to your name right. to borrow against.
Yeah. Well, I just don't, we might have to look at redoing that again because people can't come up with $200,000 and $250,000 and $300,000
to get started.
So it used to be a mortgage was 25 years and then they stretched it to 30. I don't know if it got stretched to 40, but let's just stretch it to 50 because look, I'm in my 50s, and I'll probably die still carrying a mortgage. And I think that's very true for a lot of people. Anyhow, so now people want to get paid, like, every day.
Just,
give me.
Like, you won't blow that.
Give me my money. Give me. Chappelle's Craig and Lucky, and a very sweaty, nervous Christian Pritchard.
Sweaty.
As he stares down at my kunchata.
Wow, that's a bad visual.
Yeah. No,
That's a bad visual.
I got my full kunchata on my hand, and I'm ready to go.
You know what? All I can say is, thank goodness radio is theater of the mind, because again, that is a horrible... horrible visual.
We are getting ready, and we're not far off now. What's the date today? The 19th. So
a little over a week away.
Yeah, we're going to do the great meatball off at the event center, the Bond Street Event Center in Oshawa. And Lucky will be there. Teddy Reeder will be there. Chef Massimo Capra will be there. Chef Andrea Nicholson will be there.
Who's this Chef Boyardee we've added to it?
You know what? You know, all I can say is that's really not a good move there, Lucky.
Oh, okay.
You do not call Chef Boyardee when you're talking about Chef Bobby D.
Oh, I read it wrong.
You know, you got confused because actually it's Christian's meatballs that are going to taste like Chef Boyardee.
Wow. You know what? Like the day that we put down Chef Boyardee, probably the guy that we're all like Chef Boyardee, Chef Boyardee. That guy was for real.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And you listen, when I was a kid, oh my gosh, that, and you know, I was at the
even
grocery
now,
store
for me.
Oh sure. A can of that. I'll kill it anytime. I was at the grocery store just the other day and I stumbled upon the old classic Kraft homemade pizza kits.
Oh, man.
And I thought, I haven't had one of those. I mean, when I was a kid, I thought they were great. You know, my mom would buy them and it would be like a thing on a Saturday afternoon. And to me, when you're 11, it's the greatest thing. Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm sure it tastes like a shoe now, but
you know what?
Nothing against Kraft because I like their mac and cheese.
They've done okay.
Yeah. They're going to be fine. They're going
to
be fine.
You know what? We grew up on that and let's call it the gateway drug to good cooking.
Yeah.
Because if you're into making a little kit, Craig?
Yeah.
From Kraft? You're going to make a great pizza when you're older.
I'm a true believer
in that. I really am.
I don't think you're wrong. And I think any parent should probably lead their kid down that road.
Absolutely.
By the way, we were talking, Christian, with Ted Reeder yesterday. And he's talking about, the other guy who's going to be there too. The guy who's, you're going to know who he is by the end of that night because he'll be ribbing at you the entire time. And of course he said the joint will be opening up soon, but I suggested perhaps the winner of the great meatball off, they do a meatball pizza.
I heard that
at the joint with your meatballs.
Well, it would be great because you'd have the Pritchard pizza.
Heard about
and
that?
Then you'd have the Pritchard meatball.
All right. So this is a debate that's gone on forever, Christian. The pineapple on pizza. And I'm neither here nor there. If the pizza comes with pineapple, I wouldn't order it. But if somebody else ordered the pie and it showed up with pineapple, I'd eat it. And I guess the theory that I've heard when it comes to pineapple on pizza is it gives you the sweet to the spice. Why are you so adamant that it does not belong on pizza?
Well, you know what? I actually had this debate on morning TV across Canada. All the right. thing is that I had to step back and admit one thing. What are tomatoes?
A fruit. Fruit.
Exactly. So pineapple's a fruit.
Mm.
It's just, and you can get technical, the tomato is not technically from Italy. Italians in the Durham region, GTA, do not freak at me because it's a fact. Okay? But neither's pineapple. But,
right.
But you know what? I did listen to what Ted said the recipe was at the joint.
Yeah.
And I called him yesterday and I said, if the Pritchard is a rum-filled pineapple grilled with kielbasa, yeah. I might have to, you know, nail that one down. It sounds pretty darn good.
We read a while back when it comes to pizza that the most hated topping of all time is, of course, anchovies, which I absolutely...
Not me.
I love them.
You and I are on the same page.
My dad and I, when I was a kid, we'd order double pepperoni, yeah. double anchovy pizza.
Yes.
And I told Lucky this story. There's a chain pizza joint that I ordered a pizza from one night.
Yeah.
Maria wasn't home. She hates anchovies. She wasn't home.
Really?
By myself. Yeah, yeah. My mother-in-law does like an anchovy pasta.
She's a southern Italian lady.
My wife won't eat pasta anymore. What am I doing in my life?
Well, and, maybe it's how you're making it. Maybe I'll have to have a little date night with Maria.
Perhaps. Please take her on a date. So this was the biggest disappointment in my life. I had the house to myself. I said, I'm ordering myself a pizza. I'm getting everything I like on my pizza with a lot of anchovies. Mm-hmm. I call it in. I place the order. I race up to the pizza joint to grab it. I bring it home. So excited. I open the box. It's not anchovies.
Oh, no.
It's artichokes.
Cachofi.
Oh, no. I don't even like artichoke. I said no to that place for a long time.
No kidding.
I folded on that. But
all right. So back to the great meatball off.
Yes.
Next Thursday.
Yes.
As we're counting down, how many meatballs are we making here? Are you prepared for this?
What are you asking me? I'm a pro, man.
Right. Craig,
you?
I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm going in completely blind.
Because you're used to making meatballs at home. This is like a dinner recipe.
Yeah, like 20 balls.
All right.
I think we got to make like hundreds of meatballs.
Probably.
I should start today.
And we've got Double the Pleasure who can be part of this, too. They're playing the after party, which is always fun.
Yeah.
So you got to feed them.
Well, and we know
feed
how
the
they
band
operate
now.
From
that's,
rock,
oh my
from
goodness!
Rock to block, they'll show up 3 hours later.
Can I give you some advice?
That's why they're playing the after party.
You know, you can give me some advice of coming in on your morning show. It's like stay away from the mic, lift the mic. What are you doing?
All right,
but I'm going to give you some advice
Please.
For your first food competition.
Yes.
First of all, dry off all the areas. Okay. Meaning yourself. So don't sweat too much in public.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
There
you go.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not okay. Then the other thing is. Don't be intimidated by the judges. They're going to ask you questions. It's like Chopped, you know, like they're going to ask you questions. They're going to put you down.
And you know me. I don't mind that.
No, I know that.
Talking to somebody, the cooking, the whole process of doing this much meatballs has me very concerned.
Yeah, well, you should be.
Teddy Reeder reached out to me because I think he, you know, wants me to win. It's kind of like Team Reeder, Team Pritchard. It's you and Doug in the afternoon and Teddy and us in the morning.
I don't feel that way. I don't care what Doug says to me.
Oh, it's on.
It's on. So Ted has gotten involved in that he said to me, give me all your ingredients and I'll work up your menu or your recipe to make a mass amount of meatballs.
Okay.
So I sent him. Because my recipe comes from my mother-in-law. So everything's a handful of this and a handful of that, right?
For real. Absolutely.
So
quanto basta.
Instead of him being, helpful, he just yelled at me. Well, this makes no sense and I can't. So then we went back and forth and he said, okay, I've worked up your menu. This was on Friday.
He
called me. He says, I've worked up your menu. I'll send it to you.
What's he working up your menu for?
Now it's Tuesday.
Is Doug working up my menu?
No. No, but you're the pro chef. I need help.
You know what? Ted would argue that.
And what
he calls me salad boy.
Salad boy, right?
Which I think is, at this day and age,
uh-huh.
you know, I'm 190 pounds. It's
Look
not a bad thing.
You look great. Right.
Thank you.
All right. So, anyhow, he hasn't sent me the... He hasn't even got, he yelled at me, and then I heard nothing from him. Right. So, we are going to be on the Thursday night, the 28th. We are going to be raising money for Feed the Need in Durham, the Bond Street thingy.
Event Center.
Yeah, that place.
I'm so glad you got everything down there. What? So,
he,
you know what?
He may or may not show up.
You're not going to get a meatball job after this job fails, buddy.
Listen, I know the... My brain and my mouth don't quite work all the time. Bond Street Event Center and,
Great venue, guys.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Very excited to go there.
Tickets available, therock.fm. Go to our website, get the tickets available. Part of the proceeds go to Feed the Need in Durham. So it's all for a great cause as well. And you'll find out which one of these two meatballs meatballs.
Hey.
I'm still contending. I might put a third entry in with a takeout container from IKEA.
It would probably win.
Wow. I'm offended.
If we, you know what the next competition should be?
What?
Because Lucky sees himself as a hell of a steak chef.
Oh, oh no. I'm down
maybe,
with no. that.
Maybe you and you. Do you tell
me? I'm down with that.
Obviously,
Craig hasn't learned about just shut up when it comes to these great ideas of his.
Can I say something to
you? He will learn so next Thursday.
Yeah, how about our judges coming in, guys?
Yeah.
First of all, it's an honor to have, you know, someone I call a friend, and Ted calls a good friend, is Massimo Capra.
I've watched him for years on television.
You know, guys, he is, and for me, being, you know, British-Canadian, we talked about this, first generation, how the hell did I get into Italian food with guys like Massimo?
Yeah.
I'm excited for everyone to meet him because he's just a cool guy.
I've seen him as a judge, mentor on Top Chef Canada and all other Food Network Canada shows.
Lucky.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And then Andrea.
Lucky.
Yep.
Talks a lot about different events he's been to and goes to.
Yeah.
He never raved more than the meal he ate.
Andrew Nicholson has a restaurant in Whitby called Butchie's.
Yes.
And she made, we went to Mayor Liz Roy's
event. I was there
event.
Too.
You were the auctioneer that night. And she made a beef short
Braised
rib.
Braised rib.
Is among the best things I've ever
Honestly,
tasted.
Honestly, me too. And the thing about, I've known
Andrew. In fact, she wants to bring meatballs to this event.
Oh, she, no, you know, listen, I would never, ever, ever go into a competition with her.
Oh, man.
She honestly is one of the best chefs in Canada, if not North America.
And has competed on Top Chef. Right? Yeah.
And she's a judge on Fire Masters.
Okay.
She's been all over the Food Network. I mean, there's a reason for that. She's great. And you're right. It's another great reason to taste some of the region too.
And yeah. Chef Boyardee will also
be. And Chef Boyardee.
You got that's not a good move. Chef Bobby D, his presence will be known. And you guys are a couple of mouth offs. Okay. And I would really
I'll be in the kitchen. He'll never see me.
Oh, he will see you. They have ways.
All right. Christian Pritchard and myself going toe to toe with our balls. At the Bond Street Event Center.
Going ball to ball. I actually go toe to toe with my balls, but that's you, okay?
You guys are getting older. Perhaps you are.
Yeah. Hey. Listen, my balls really hold together anymore. All right. Get your tickets through the
And they're selling fast, man. A lot of friends are coming. I'm really happy about this because, again, I don't care if when I kick your butt. It'll be great. But the bottom line is Feed the Need.
You know what? I will say this. If you do win, which is highly unlikely, it's not a great look for you anyhow, Christian. Well, yeah. You're the schoolyard bully. You're the chef here. Like, if I kick your arse, it looks bad. If you kick my arse, well, all right, schoolyard bully. You're a chef.
I'm not the guy who rolls in on the commercial on a Thursday, and suddenly there's the voice of Craig Venn mouthing off about me on this commercial that's broadcast every 20 seconds on this station.
I just read the script. I just read the script. That's all I do.
Yeah. Yeah, like, give me the mic.
All right. We'll see if you guys can actually roll some meatballs or just roll each other in this whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's the professional chef. Wins.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a big win.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just proof.
All right. Great Meatball Off is happening March 28th, Bond Street Event Center. Get
Going
your tickets down, through therock.fm.
Going down, Ben.
Your kids like this Mr. Beast guy?
Yeah, they were into that for a while.
Yeah. He's creating the biggest reality competition series in TV history for Prime. It's called Beast Games, and it's inspired by his YouTube channel. 1,000 contestants will compete for a $5 million prize, which is said to be the biggest single prize in TV and streaming history. Mr. Beast will also serve as the show's host. He says, my goal is to make the greatest show possible and prove YouTubers and creators can succeed on other platforms. That's not what we need.
No, but it is incredible. Like, it was one of those things where, you know, we talked about parenting earlier, where you're trying to keep up with your kids or maybe keep them off of some of the social medias or just off of YouTube and they would constantly watch. And it was one of those annoying things because as a parent, like, well, you know, you've got to go to school and do something with your life. And,
right.
You know, and then you watch five idiots playing around, you know, with dart guns and, you know, Nerf guns and they're create, you know, empires for themselves. You know, for my kids, Dude Perfect was one of those. And then I think there was like Team Edge or something they were called. And then this guy, Mr. Beast. And then he started giving it all away, too. And that was a big element of it.
He's big into charity.
Yeah, big into charity. Well, to be honest,
Or was he just handing it out in the street?
At one point, it looked like it was incredibly wasteful. It's like, oh, let's buy a car and then destroy it.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, well, guys, like money isn't that frivolous to do. And then he would start doing that with, you know, his buddies on his show and, you know, I'll give you $1,000 if you can do this and this and, you know, it's completely taken money out of perspective.
Right.
But
you know, I thought he was handing out like $10,000.
Eventually he was. He's giving away billions.
Yeah. Anyhow, he says
millions at least.
Yeah. Amazon gave him the creative control. And I hope to make the YouTube community proud, says Mr. Beast. So, and that really is where it's all going. I mean, it's funny. I pay for cable, all of my television channels, the internet into my house. And honestly, for the amount I pay every month, I'm on about five things.
Right.
And one of them is YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, all these channels I pay all this money for, I never watch them.
Yeah.
Ever.
We watch a little more, but beyond having like HGTV.
Yeah.
And a couple of the sports channels, I could probably go down to just like a few of the streaming packages.
We pay for Prime and Disney Plus and Paramount Plus and HBO and Netflix. And I do watch, I do rotate through all of those streaming packages. Yeah, like you, I have the sports channels. I don't even know where they are on my system. And we don't even watch any live TV. Anything we want to watch, we record.
Right.
And watch later.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just, I have, the sports apps, ones where I can watch games from anywhere or any game.
Mm.
And, I don't watch on my iPad or on my computer.
Right.
I generally like to sit down in front of the television and watch it there. But that being said, when you look at, you know, how much we spend on phone, internet and cable alone, it is staggering.
And it is interesting with network television in general in that there isn't much out there that is must-see TV anymore outside of sports.
Mm-hmm.
Because it happens and it's over and you either watched it or you hear about it the next day.
Right.
You know, it drives me crazy when we'd have people who even would insist we don't give sports scores the next morning. Too bad, dude.
Right.
You know.
Well, and yeah, you're right. In terms of appointment tuning, outside of, you know, live events like the Grammys, perhaps, you know, most people, even if you have a show that you watch all the time, you know, unless you are worried about spoilers, you know, are you really going to tune in Thursday nights at 9 to make sure you catch this in time? Probably not. You'll PVR it and then watch it before you check social media.
And outside of like SNL, which of course Saturday Night Live, and maybe Bill Maher in real time because it is live at 10 o'clock on Friday nights. But even then, you can record both and watch the next morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's...
Oh, I can't remember. I've never stayed up in the past 20 years to watch SNL.
We were down in Windsor on the weekend, and we had gotten in late Friday night. So once we checked into the hotel and had a couple of drinks and we were watching TV, and at one point I look at my my phone, and it was midnight, and I said, I was shocked. We're up? We're still awake at midnight? This is not going to end well. Say we're into spring at midnight tonight?
11 p.m. tonight, spring officially strikes.
Nice. Felt like it struck about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, and now it feels like we're back into winter for the next few days at least.
Some concerns for anybody with a garden. We've got some tulips out front that have already popped up, and now if we go way down below, we might have some issues. I know some farmers are really concerned because of the mild weather getting things to start going. I already see a lot of trees in my neighborhood starting to bloom their leaves.
Yeah, my backyard, we've got robins, cardinals, all sorts of things that are out. They're talking about bears in their early, leaving our hibernation early because the weather has been so mild recently.
We don't want that.
No.
You. We all know we're angry bears when we wake up. Very we don't much. Want an actual angry bear to deal with, although mm-hmm. I don't think we have many of them here in the GTA.
Well, I mean, they've started to creep their way into the northern parts of the city, definitely.
Bears?
In the regions, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
People are seeing bears.
We had bears, like Uxbridge, we have bears in the streets. And
really?
Yeah. And well, coyotes have been a problem.
I know coyotes,
that urban sprawl and everything else. We're digging up their homelands.
The coyotes, houses. For sure, but I didn't know we'd spotted, like, actual bears rolling around.
I'll say Uxbridge had one in Port Perry recently.
Now, that's Uxbridge's problem. That's their fault for living all the way up there.
It's not in your backyard.
No, well, not yet, anyhow. Lovely Maria almost took a job up in Uxbridge, and I said, you know, that drive is great in August.
Right.
You don't be doing that drive in February and March.
No, something to consider.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to have to deal with an angry bear yesterday. And it may have caused one, at least.
What did you do?
You know, sometimes your approach of just not doing anything is probably the better idea and concept. I was visiting our pally Jeff and Matt.
Okay.
At the mechanics.
Attention
to detail. Yeah, in Oshawa. And then I needed a safety on the car. And so I just, you know, giving them a call to see when I could get it in. And they weren't busy. So they said, come on by, they said. Mm. And so I stopped in on my way home yesterday. And so part of that is they have to take it for a little test drive. And,
right.
Jeff did. And as he was coming back, into the garage, and I was just waiting inside the door. Matthew, his son, who works there as well, was on the phone and dealing with a customer and writing stuff down. And Jeff pulled up to the door and honking away, and kind of looking at me through the window as he's honking, trying to get into the door. Mm. So I thought, I've seen this happen 1,000 times. Why don't I just grab the chain and pull it and open up the door for him? Well, I pulled it and nothing happened. Right. And I was like, well, okay, well, not sure what happened here. Pulled the other side and nothing happened. And Matthew and finally finished up and came out and took a look and went, well, I think the door's broken.
Oh, no. And did you break the door?
I don't know how I could have, to be honest, but I touched it. And because I touched
it's your fault.
All of a sudden, I'm the one who did something. And I thought, well, because, like, unless this is the most sensitive door in history, and how hard can, I mean, this is what we do is basically pulling people's chains for a living. So for the fact that I could have screwed this up in all of 2 seconds of trying to be helpful instead of just sitting back and letting them do it.
I would have not, yes,
yeah.
Not gotten involved at all.
I know. In retrospect, I probably should have just opened up the other, you know, human door and went, yeah. Give him a second, he's on the phone. But me.
No, mister, saying, I gotta get involved.
How hard could it be to open a door So
they couldn't get the car in the garage.
Well, there was ladders involved and about a half hour, 45 minutes of jigging things around and jacking things up. And eventually, yes, they did. Were able to get the door open and closed a bit.
You should have just given them the car as payment for the door.
Well, the whole time I'm like, I'm just getting close to my nap time.
Yeah, this is really cutting into my...
at what point can I just go and say, you know, even though I caused the problem, say, hey guys, I'm just going to leave and come back.
So you must have yanked that chain more, maybe a little forward instead of just down.
I guess instead of yanking it up, I guess I must have just over-pulled it down. I don't know. I hit a button to open garage doors. That's usually how these things work.
Just follow my lead. Stay out of things. You get too mixed into the minutia of everything.
Right.
Just stay out. Just in general.
There are windows in that garage door, and he's staring at me and honking the horn. And I thought, well, what the hell do you want me to do?
Walk away from the window.
Yeah, I guess so. Just duck.
I'm telling you.
Duck and pretend. Do what you do when people come to the door. Just duck and pretend you're not home.
Don't get involved. I see it in you. You like to try to organize and help and do.
Right.
Don't.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.